Well, we want to take this from the platform to the living room again. I'm going to have Brent and Beth Sickle join us up here. Like Grant and Anne introduced themselves, Grant is an elder here, and Anne is what she likes to say around the office, the WMD, the Women's Ministry Director. Obviously, there's a different analogy for that. I'll let you decide why she says that. But Brent is one of our pastors as well, and Beth runs around with the students, the seventh grade girls, is that right? Make sure that they're in check. They both co-teach in the Preparing for Marriage class, as do Anne and Grant. But like the stat that I've been sharing, and it keeps increasing, which was actually not planned, but together these two have 166 years of following Jesus together. A lot of grace and forgiveness in the middle of that, understanding it and sharing it. And so with that, I want to ask, what are some ways that you guys communicate that grace to one another? It's one thing to believe it and one thing to know it. It's a whole other thing to communicate that to each other. You guys have shared a bunch already, but I would love to hear from you guys first.
Well, we've always talked about that communicating grace to one another begins with how do we show God's love to one another. And so we've always tried to live out what we've already experienced, as we've heard, from Christ's love shown to us. Than to our spouse that way. That's the source of all of our ability to show grace. And then it comes also then in some of the practical ways of understanding our spouse, understanding that even as we walk through hard times or conflicts, what are the ways that they receive grace and forgiveness? Just as we talked about, we have different expectations for different things. We have different ways that we expect to receive grace and forgiveness in our own lives. I know just a simple way that we've experienced in our lives is just how do we come home at the end of a day together? And so we had to talk through that, and one of the ways that we show grace to one another is just how we do that. So Beth knows that I come home from a day here at the church, and it's not necessarily that I'm a physically strenuous amount of work. I'm not lifting a bunch of boxes or things like that. But I normally have a lot of things on my mind. And so if I come through the door and the first thing that I then encounter is all of the things that I got to think about at home, it's quite overwhelming. And so we had the conversation about how does that extend grace to me? And so for me, she allows me to come home and have about 10, 15 minutes by myself, just to allow my mind to be reset, to be able to engage fully with our family and our four kids and all that we have to do for the evening together in a good way. And in the same way, like I'm home on Fridays, it's my day off, but she comes home from work. And one of the ways I want to just care and show, extend grace to her in those moments is to make sure that the house is ready for her when she comes home. So that as she finishes up her week, she's not then walking home to the stresses of the home, whether it's dishes put away or laundry being done or things like that. Just simple ways that we want to show grace to one another.
Illustration that I thought of is one of the things with being married 38 years, we know each other really well. But, you know, over the years when we were raising kids, we would face conflicts together. And he is a trained engineer. So he approaches things with, let's figure out how to fix this. And here are the three steps that we're going to take to fix this. I am a verbal processor. I'm somebody who needs time to think it through, to talk it through, to pray it through. And so you can see where those two things will create in conflict. And so we've learned to respect each other's differences. And there are times when it has been so important that I let him lead with the way that we solve things. And there are times when he has had to learn to let me lead on an emotional thing, especially when it involved our kids. So.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that. You also threw a stat there, 38 years of marriage and 19 for you guys. So you have learned a lot of things along the way. So I'm going to ask you to go back to the early years. First couple years of marriage, as people say, it can be the most difficult as you're adjusting and figuring things out. And how did you practice grace and forgiveness then? And how has that changed, improved, depending on life and things like that?
You know, some of that I think I've blocked out of my mind now. It's hard to think back that far. But as you asked me this question earlier and we were thinking about this, one of the things I recall is that when we had three young kids, especially
by the time the fourth came, I think Abby was old enough to help out a little bit. But when we had three, things were just crazy in our house. And Ann was staying home with the kids, and which was a blessing. But it was intense, you know. And we were both exhausted a lot of times. But one of the things I found is that I needed to give Ann a break. And I think one of the ways that I was able to extend grace to her was by letting her go off and do her own thing. One time, as long as a weekend, that was tough. but, you know, it also gave me a greater appreciation for what she dealt with all day long, every day. I know. And I would say this, I mean, when they were littles, it wasn't like my jam, you know, it wasn't like, this was like, oh boy, I get to change diapers today. So, you know, it was that required me to sacrifice, because it wasn't something I necessarily wanted to do, but I knew that was good for our marriage, so we chose to do it.
So I can think of one very funny, quick story where we learned to extend grace to each other. We were maybe married 5-10 years, something like that, and Grant was working for a woman who was a great shopper, a great gal, and he told her that he had bought me a crock pot for Christmas.
So practical, she needed that. I mean...
So his boss gave him a list of four stores and told him to get over to Oak Brook and to find me a decent Christmas gift, right? He drove over to Oak Brook. He couldn't find a parking space, so I got a crock pot. And we had to talk through that. I couldn't in the moment react like he had given me a terrible present in front of the kids, but we had to talk about it later, and I had to extend grace to him that he thought, because I liked to cook, that it was a great gift. That was one of those moments. But sorry.
Beth did ask for a crock pot for her birthday this year, though.
I actually did. Guys, it's the Ninja one that's like the double crock pot. So I can put like two batches of white chicken chili in and feed my entire family. I have three boys, and two of them are in middle school. Y'all need to pray for us. I've already told them, you are getting part-time jobs and giving me the money so I can pay for your food. but when we were thinking about this, I was thinking about all throughout the Bible, it talks about God being for us. And it's not in this cheerleader on the sidelines, yay, everything you do is perfect and right. No, God is for us in his relationship with us. He is for us in our growth and in our sanctification. And it was really life-changing for me, like early in our marriage, to reframe my thinking that Brent is for me. He's for our relationship. He's for my personal growth. He's for my spiritual growth. He's for my sanctification. And so even in those moments of tension, and even in those moments of differences of opinions, or even the way that we were raised and the lens through which we saw things that caused conflict within our like marriage in the early years, realizing like, but no, like my husband is for me the same way that God is for me in my relationship with him. And one of the really practical examples is we got married right out of Bible college. We were really babies. We were 21 and 22. And one of the things we learned when we went through premarital counseling with our campus pastor and his wife was sit on the couch if you have a conflict and pass a pillow, so that everyone has a chance to like air their grievances and talk in a constructive way. And we did that for like at least the first 2 years of marriage. And it was so helpful and beneficial. And I'd be like, no, it's my turn for the pillow. I'm not done hugging the pillow. but that was just like a really practical way that we were able to practice forgiveness and extending grace in a constructive way.
But even how that changed throughout our marriage. And so we were always very proactive in resolving conflict, extending grace with one another, things like that. And we really took to heart the idea of that we didn't want to let the sun go down in our anger. And so early on in our marriage, we would engage those conversations. And we're
talking about like 2 a.m. here.
Yeah, 2, 3 a.m. We would work it out until it was done. But we found out a few years into marriage that that wasn't always helpful. She would wonder why that the longer it would go, many times my frustration would grow. And part of it was, is if anybody knows me, I have a very set schedule when it comes to bed. When I say that I'm tired and I'm ready for bed, like, my mind's done. Like, I'm out of energy, I'm out of focus. And so we really had to talk through that. And I had to just say, well, I think it's time that it's okay that we say that we want to give our best selves and our best intention to this best effort. And it may not be best at 2 a.m. And so if we could verbalize that, be able to move that conversation and pick it up at another time, really helped us in a growing and resolving that in our marriage, extending grace.
Yeah. And it goes back to, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to make one comment, Brent. Just so you know, when all those boys become teenagers, 11, 12 p.m. is going to become a really important time for you to be awake, because they want to talk to you at that time. And you're like, okay, talk.
Oh, no, I'm fine at 11, 12. It's the 1, the 2, oh, okay. 3 a.m. type
all
of
right.
thing.
Okay.
We
okay.
already have a 16-year-old daughter, and so it's okay. normally just, a conversation between 10:30 and midnight.
Okay, we need to give guidance to them, not to
okay,
each
sorry.
Other. And yeah. you even talked
about... They got more years than us.
That's true, that's true. Double, actually, almost
yeah,
exactly.
Double.
Talking about what you just shared, it connects with what Sergio and Josita were talking about in terms of self-awareness, knowing when you're your best and when not you're not your best, right? Underneath some of that is like, hey, I learned how to do this, which means that you didn't know how to do that. And so to finish up our time here, I'd love you to give some guidance or a word towards those couples who are stuck in unforgiveness and not showing grace and having a hard time trying to figure that out, right? Mm. We're sharing how you figured it out. Can we share the, okay, what do I do when I'm stuck here?
Mm. Yeah. Why don't you start?
One of the things I thought about this week when we were processing that question together is that, you know, trigger is one of those words that, you know, is kind of a bad word to a lot of people, trigger, but I want to encourage you today to use the word trigger in a positive way. When there is something that triggers you to have a spirit of unforgiveness or ungrace towards your spouse, that's when you need that trigger to tell you now it's time to pray. Hmm. And I would really encourage you, because this is something I love to do, is to memorize a passage of scripture that you can pray through in that moment. Colossians 3, 15 through 19 or 20 is an excellent passage to use, because it's all about being kind and compassionate and forgiving as you have been forgiven. So I would just say, when you're triggered that way, use it as a prompt to rely on the Holy Spirit and to pray.
And I'd build on that as being kind of going back to my process guy engineering nature. I believe that we need to become a student of ourselves and a student of our spouse. And we need to continually be learning that. I still learn things about Anne today. And with respect to this, when is it that we head down the path of an argument or a conflict that's going to cause angst in our relationship? A lot of times there's things that, steps that happen before that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if we can diffuse it back at that stage, then it doesn't blow up into something major that we have to wrestle through later in this long forgiveness process where we have to release that debt from one another. Mm-hmm. So become a student of one another and understand what is it that leads up to that point where things explode, and then try to figure out how to diffuse it at that point in the process.
I think building on what Anne and Grant are talking about is just this acknowledgement and this working towards being proactive mm-hmm. about it. And so like a really big thing that has been part of Brent and I's marriage and relationship with each other is finding mentor couples
yeah.
that God has just placed into our life that have been a stage or two ahead of us, but who are willing to speak into our lives, who are willing to challenge us, who are willing to hold us accountable, who are willing to pray for us, who have our best interests at heart. And if you don't have one, you know, start praying, start looking around. That's what your church family is for. And that's why we're here as a body. And so finding that connection and finding those one or two people, and if you don't find it as a couple right away, like even finding someone of the same gender who can do that for you and speak into your life can be something really life-giving and something that holds you accountable in a way that is outside of your marriage, yeah. but also helps you invest fully into your marriage as well.
Yeah, you might have to look outside. Maybe you're connected to a group already. You might have to look outside of that group, because many times our groups are very homogeneous when it comes to generations. And so I know that Ann and Grant talk about being a part of Cornerstone, and they have mentor couples in there. But if you're part of one home group or community or life group, find another one of another stage that can speak into the lives of your life and the lives of your group that way. I know for us, one of the biggest mentors early on in our marriage actually was a couple that Beth and I met in college. We met them because as a couple, they were the resident directors for us as RAs. And so Miss Ann and Mr. Dave, during the year, during our senior year when we're engaged and thinking about marriage, not only spent time with us in their job, but invited us into their home and into conversations to prepare us for marriage. And we're a couple that invested in us in many conversations during that year, final year of college, but even our youngness of marriage. And so we actually got to hear and celebrate, they celebrated 65 years of marriage this year. Nice. And so getting to have all that life experience, but also just hearing from them of God's faithfulness in their lives and their marriage, was such an encouragement to begin our journey.
Yeah. Yeah. So I want you to hear some next steps, some very practical next steps. I want you also to consider that those next steps need to be translated into your marriage. You need to consider what that looks like for yourselves. So we're going to invite one more time for you to talk with your spouse, to talk with each other, ask a couple questions as we reflect. And then we'll give you some next steps afterwards. And Hannibal will close our time out together with some prayer and different things like that. So I want to pray to end this time and really pray for the conversation you're about to have as we consider what next looks like. Let's pray. God, we're grateful that you're God who makes it clear that you're not just going to leave us where we're at. Lord, that you care about our relationship, you care about us, and that you are in the process of making us more and more holy, healthy, that you are growing us to be more like who you made us and saved us to be. And so as we enter into this next conversation with our spouse, Lord, I pray that you would open up the conversation even more for more healing, but more health, more growth, more opportunities to extend grace and forgiveness to one another in beautiful gospel ways. We trust you. Amen.
Thank you. We're in back in our program on page 15, and I want to invite you to just explore this one question. Is it hard for you to receive grace? Is it hard for you to extend grace, and why? So I want you to talk to each other about that question. If you have time, you can go on to the second question, but take a few moments to especially go do that one.